Hello, America. This is the place for uncensored talk on everything that divides us as a nation. I'm Alan Jacoby, and welcome to The Great Divide. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Great Divide. Hope you're all doing well. Joining me today is a fifth-generation rancher down in Texas. He's running for the Texas Commissioner of Agriculture, and he is Cary Council. He's also, you're a U.S. Air Force veteran, correct, Cary?
That is correct. I'm a disabled veteran on top of it. I had some issues when I was in the military, and it's carried me out through where I'm at today. But I had a successful tour in the Air Force during the Muammar Gaddafi when we slaughtered him.
Ah, well, I'm honored to have you. I thank you very much, and I also I thank you for your service to our country. And this is interesting. You know, you're a Texas rancher. I'm in New York, and I only know what I obviously see on the news, and I've been reading a lot.
Every Texas rancher's got cattle. They got horses. They got an oil well, I understand. So I am not the epitome of every Texas rancher. I do have a whole bunch of cows, and I do have a whole bunch of hay, but as for the oil well, I'm not J.R. Ewing. Yeah, everybody remembers the television show Dallas. I was literally
just gonna say there's more to Texas ranching than watching Dallas on
That's
TV.
That's right.
So you know, ranching, that's a lifestyle. That's a world in itself.
It is.
And right now, the whole Texas border, the Texas itself, with all of the ranches and the ranchers, they're under attack by this invasion of illegal aliens coming over the border. And I really want to deep dive into that, because I read a lot about, you know, they're coming over, they're camping out on property, they're assaulting ranchers and their families, theft, vandalism, contaminating the drinking water for the cattle. I mean, so much going on. Can you give us an insight of what that's like? And I want to get into everything about what you want to do and your stance being Texas agricultural, the Commissioner of Agriculture. Sure. And I also want to talk about the current one, which I know is under the gun on certain things. So let me tell you this border issue. Go ahead.
I'll tell you a little bit about what's going on at the border right now. I was at a conference in Dallas on the Southwest Texas Cattle Raisers. Southwest Texas Cattle Raisers is the largest and the oldest cattle raisers organization. And it's not just strictly Texas. It's a Southwest region. There was a few keynote speakers and guest speakers that came from the border that were actually ranchers. Now, understand, they have their own Texas Southwest Cattle Raisers Association has their special. They have what they call special rangers that they go out and they arrest the rustlers. You know, Texas is the only place that we can still hang our rustlers, or right. If you're going out rustling cattle, we can still hang them in Texas legally. Doesn't happen, but it's still on the books that we can still do it. But this is one of the things that they've turned to. We don't have the imminent threat from people rustling cattle. Not saying it doesn't happen. We have the imminent threat from the border directly south of us. And out of the border directly south of us, 90% coming across are not the Mexican immigrants that have been coming across for years. Now, people thought that, okay, the border was completely closed and we didn't have a problem under Trump. Well, 10%, we still had 10% migration, but the migration coming across the border, Biden's administration has just blatantly opened the border up. There is no enforcement of the border. The Border Patrol agents are basically have their hands tied as the immigrants come across. Hey, let's don't call them immigrants. Let's call them illegal aliens. They're illegal. Yeah. They are illegal people coming across the border. They're not immigrants. Yes. Immigrants do it the right way. Illegals do not do it the right way. So Absolutely. The illegals that are coming across the border are coming across the border and cutting fences. And a lot of these ranches on the border are in the desert. You have to understand that it's not an urban metropolitan area along the border. It's not like New York or Pennsylvania or the Midwest. Right. These towns may be 100 miles apart. So when people come across, the first thing they're doing is they're looking for food and they're looking for water. They've got to have something because we're in a desolate area down there. They cut the fences. They can't drink out of the pond. So what are they doing? They're drinking out of, you know, they're bust into a house. They break a back window. They see a place where the people come together. They call them little little ranchettes where they'll have a place where they can do their tagging of the cattle. They keep a refrigerator in there for the vaccinations for their cattle. And everything's just gone through and they've stolen everything and ransacked everything. You'll find sleeping bags and cut fences and animals astray. And it's costing the ranchers. I was talking to one of the county judges in the area, and it's costing thousands and thousands of dollars a day to each one of these ranchers that they're having to go through and get their fences in order. And they're spending needless time that they wouldn't spend otherwise. Now, we did have a little migration under the Trump administration, but he had a tight fist on it. Yeah. With the Biden administration, it's just wide open.
It's a free for all.
That's a great word. It's a free for all. And here we are. And this is where the oxymoron comes in. He wants to vaccinate everybody. He wants to mandate vaccinations, but he's letting all these people come across the border that are just bringing a plethora of not just COVID, but all other kinds of malaria and other diseases.
Tuberculosis, everything, malaria. Everything.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, the Border Patrol, like you said, is overwhelmed. And, you know, they have it down to a science, like the drug cartels and human traffickers, where they will overwhelm the Border Patrol with large groups of children, where they know now the Border Patrol have to become babysitters, diaper changers, and administrative clerks doing a bunch of paperwork.
It's a huge business.
Right. So then you have these open areas of the border where the wall is not finished that aren't being patrolled by the border because there aren't enough of them. And there was something, I read something was like a 200 plus mile area of wall that are patrolled by 12 border agents at any given time. 12 border patrol agents for 200 miles is you're not doing anything. I mean, it's pissing in the breeze, as they say it. And it's now you have a $1 billion business of bringing illegal drugs coming, illegal weapons, people, I mean, children, women, men, just the human trafficking, and now they're all ending up on these farms and on these ranches. And
well, like here's what the Biden administration is doing. Yeah. They're coming through and they're busing them all throughout the state of Texas to Louisiana. They're probably busing them straight up to you, to the Midwest and up through the New England states. They're putting them on buses and shipping them all throughout the country. So we talk about sanctuary cities. There's no such thing as sanctuary cities. Every place in the United States is sanctuary now because Biden's shipping all these illegal people. And we're not talking about Mexicans. We're talking about people coming in from South America, Central America. It's only a matter of time before we start shipping the Taliban in this way. It's only a matter of time before we infiltrate and bring all these terrorists in, and we're gonna spot them all over the country. And the next thing you know, we're gonna get our butt handed to us again.
They're already here. I mean, early on, it wasn't really carried. In the news, they got like 7 or 11 people on a terrorist watch group from Yemen. That they already said that through the border, there's people, I think, from between 60 and 70 countries coming who are coming in illegally. And like you said, with this debacle in Afghanistan, they either came here on U.S. military planes posing as Afghan refugees, or they're going to go to other countries, work their way to the southern border, and then come up illegally through that way because there's no security and it's all wide open. And they're busing them, they're flying them. I saw pictures. They're giving them envelopes, Manila envelopes, that say, "Hey, I don't speak English. Can you help me? What plane I'm supposed to be on?" And listen, this is about money and politics. It's they can do their frivolous spending with all of these packages that they're disguising as the American Rescue Plan and the COVID package and all of this. And to the Democrats, the open border is nothing more than the largest Democratic voting registration drive in modern U.S. history.
You're right.
Because that's what they want to do. They want to load them all into DMVs. They want to get them driver's licenses. They want to get them, hey, look what we did for you. Now here's your voter registration card. You're going to register as a Democrat, and you're going to vote for this guy because he helped you get here. And that's what they want to do. And it's going to destroy things like Texas agriculture and the ranches and the farming industry and meat processing and everything that and water sources.
As so, as a veteran, this is embarrassing because the illegals have more rights than my brother veterans.
They just said it. The press secretary, when she was asked straight, oh, so everyone so Americans have to be mandated to get vaccines, but people coming over the border illegally don't. And that idiot behind the podium, Jen Psaki, said, yeah, they're not even hiding anymore. Yeah. So, like, if you don't want to live by all of these mandates and this tyrannical government, just leave the country and come back in illegally.
That's right.
And you're going to have more rights. You're going to have less restrictions than you and I, American citizens. But Alan, we're the bad guys for saying that.
Alan, 35 years ago, 35 years ago, I put my hand up and I sworn to the oath that I would defend my country for enemies, foreign and domestic.
Yeah. And
it's only a matter of time before we're pushed back in the corner and that dog's going to come out biting.
And meanwhile, our federal government, the Biden regime is now on this campaign, this smear campaign, that anyone who's a Republican, anyone who's a conservative, and God forbid any of them put on a hat that says "Make America Great Again," you are labeled as a racist. You are labeled
as a terrorist,
as a domestic terrorist. Absolutely right.
Yeah, I saw a T-shirt. I went to CPAC here a couple of weeks ago, and I saw a shirt. Oh, yeah. Orange Man tweet doesn't sound too bad now, does it?
Yeah,
I loved it. I wish I could find that.
I would take mean tweets over what's going
on. That's right.
Right now.
I would take mean tweets any day.
It's disgusting. And then and unfortunately, you know, when's the point? All right, backed into a corner. Can it get any worse? It's going to get worse.
Yes, it will.
It's getting worse as the days go on. I mean, we just had this debacle in Afghanistan, and no one lost their job. Everyone's patting themselves on the back. Secretary of State Blinken's going to go sit in front of Congress and testify, and he's not going to get hardball questions. And maybe the one or two hardball questions he does get is just going to be overshadowed by some Democrats saying that this was the best and biggest emergency evacuation in American history. Meanwhile, we've abandoned our own people over there that are getting shot in the street, and no one lost their job. No one.
It's embarrassing as a veteran that we've lost our first war.
Yeah, I mean,
to me, I feel like we've lost our first war. I mean, when the enemy comes back and takes over less than 24 hours after we evacuate out, it's like throwing up the white flag and saying, you know what, we give. And it's embarrassing.
We didn't even throw up a flag. We literally made them dinner. We gave them a $700 million embassy. We gave them a $600 million airbase. We gave them $85 million in weaponry and artillery and technology. And we said, oh, you know, and when the Taliban offered and said, hey, you guys can secure the city and the airport, and General McKenzie in charge over there goes, no. All we need is the airport. You guys can have the city. This is our sworn enemy. The CIA director secretly going and meeting with the leader of the Taliban. It's insanity. It's like we're living in Bizarro world.
That's right.
You know, Orwell's 1984 is like...
We're living it.
It's unbelievable. And for you and for the border states, you know... It's funny. I call them border states, but now it's like I feel like every state is a border state because they're flying people to northern border states. They're flying illegals. And illegal aliens, they're human beings. I can't blame them for when the United States, the president of the United States basically opens the border and it's known that they can come here without any consequence and get everything handed to them. Why wouldn't they? I can't blame all those people for doing that. It's from coming from the filth they're living in.
That's right.
But
that's right.
But you know, we can't have it. It's hurting
all of our farmers. It's hurting everybody. I'm 5 hours from the border. I live 5 hours, which, I mean, it sounds like quite a long distance, but when you only have a couple major towns. We have San Antonio and Corpus Christi are the only real towns that are between. I mean, when you talk about cities, only really cities between Houston and Austin and the border. So with Corpus Christi and San Antonio picking up all the illegals that are coming up, and San Antonio and Corpus Christi are still an hour and a half to 2 hours from the border. All that is produce, farmland, ranches, cattle, cotton. It's very, very desolate. There's very few people, few and far between, and it's costing millions and millions of dollars. And the Border Patrol agents' hands are tied. They can't even. They're not even allowed to process them and send them back over. They're to process them and stage them because what they're doing is shipping them out. And that's strictly by the federal government's hands. The federal government is tying the hands of the state. Governor Abbott says he cannot send the National Guard in to assist. Well, why not? Because the federal government supersedes and says you will not send them in.
So let me ask you this a little bit about Governor Abbott. So it's funny. I go by the day. One day I think he's doing all right things, and then the next day I'm like, is he really doing anything or is it optics? For instance, when he, which it's very quiet about now, you don't hear it nationally anyway, about he's going to fund and raise the money to build his own wall. And everybody was like, yeah, it's what a real governor has to do. And then it kind of fell off. And, you know, you think about it. Is any of that still happening? What's the talk about that in Texas? Like, what is he?
You know, what's funny is when George Bush was at 43, was in office, we initially said we were going to build the wall. All the material's been there since George Bush 43. So this is not a Donald Trump thing. This goes back to George Bush, when the original wall was supposed to be built. Now, a good portion of the construction of it is complete, but it's not nearly where it needs to be. And you know, the cartel knows exactly where the weak points are at. It's not even a game anymore. It's more big business.
Right. Is he and? As far as Texas goes with him as governor, what initiatives is he doing right now, I guess, locally on a state level, maybe that the rest of the country isn't hearing about to kind of curb I know he's getting stonewalled a lot by the federal government. I'm sure he feels helpless in a lot of ways, but what is he doing as far as I would imagine his office is, his emails and his phones are lighting up about, even just from ranchers, absolutely, about what's happening.
Absolutely. I do know that we do have Texas Rangers. I do know that we have the Department of Public Safety, which is our highway patrol, is being dispatched down to the border, and they're monitoring and making sure, but still the hands are tied by the federal government. They're making sure that, you know, the only way they can do anything is if they break a law. So if they trespass, we have to tell them not to trespass anymore unless there's no trespassing signs, and then we can arrest them for trespassing. We can't arrest them for coming back, coming across the border, which is crazy to me because, Alan, how about you and I go across into Iraq, you know, and see what happens to us? Or how about we go into Saudi Arabia and see what happens to us without having a passport? We'll be murdered. We'll have our hands or legs cut off. So it's sort of... where it's a futile effort, but at least we're monitoring, and we're monitoring in Texas. We're monitoring for the Kristi Noem. I was at CPAC, and Governor Noem out of South Dakota. She sent a ton of troops down here to help, and we're getting troops from other states that are.
Florida sent some too, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, this, you got to understand, DeSantis is the man. So
he is. I like him a lot. I don't. You know, it's funny. Everyone's like, everyone wants to see him run for president in 2024. I don't think Florida is ready to let him go, and I think with everything that's going on right now, I personally don't think he should let Florida go.
That's right.
I think because Florida is a major stronghold for the party, and with him there to I think ensure that protection and to help and keep doing what he's doing. As much as I'd love to see him as in the White House one day, I don't think it's time now. I think he has to keep that stronghold in Florida going. That's just me, though, you know. But right now with the way things are going with the ranchers, you're the current commissioner of agriculture. I know he's got a bunch of stuff going on. Is he? I don't really know what a commissioner of agriculture does, to be honest. I'd like to give a little background on that and then tell me. I want to get into the things he's doing, not doing, and what could be doing.
Perfect. People think, just like we were talking earlier, people think when you think about Texas, you think about cattle ranches, big pickup trucks and oil wells. You think about the television show Dallas. The average farmer, rancher, has 15 head of cattle. We're not big ranchers throughout Texas. I've got quite a bit more than that, but if you go further out west, you have even more. I'm in the central part of Texas. I'm in what we call the cow-calf country. This is where we raise baby calves, and we ship the baby calves off to be grown to be the food that you raise or food that you buy at your grocery store, your local grocery store. So this is where we raise the cattle. There are more cattle in this area than there are people. So where we live right here it's in a 5-county area. It's about the size, about the size of New York City. The 5-county area is about the size of New York City. Give you an idea how big it is. It's pretty good size. But it's all agricultural. There's not but 250, 300,000 people that live in this whole 5-county area. Wow. Agriculture affects everybody. Our largest commodity is cattle. And then we go into cotton, but don't discount that we have also vegetables, anything that you buy at the grocery store. So I'm not just affecting this, just the agricultural people. If you live in the city, you're affected by the Department of Agriculture. Everybody's heard of the USDA. I'm sure you've heard of the USDA, USDA prime beef, USDA choice beef. You buy your things, your products, your commodities based upon the recommendation from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The second largest Department of Agriculture in the nation is the Texas Department of Agriculture, TDA. And what we control here, the major thing that they control is the weights and balances. Any scale in the grocery store, any scale that a truck goes across, that's all under the agriculture. But don't discount the fact that all the water that comes into your house, that comes out of the ground. That's all agriculture. The right. Landscape that you have at your house, the flowers and the pretty trees that you have and the yard that you have, it's all controlled by Department of Agriculture. So we had a big freeze. I'm sure y'all heard about it. We had a freeze here in Texas and it got down. We had a New York freeze in Texas. Let me tell
you.
Yes,
you did.
It got down for a week. It was below 10 degrees and we can't handle the temperatures like that. As a matter of fact, our freeze line is about 6 inches below the soil, where your freeze line is about 3 feet below the soil. So everybody lost everything. And then on top of it, we had the debacle of the electrical, the power grid shut down. And when that power grid shut down, you can imagine up north, we don't have fireplaces, we don't have wood stoves. Our fireplaces are mainly for show. It's not for heating the house. So if you have a freezing temperatures, and then all of a sudden your power goes out, what happens to the walls? There were so many people that lost electricity that all the pipes broke in their house. This has been a catastrophe. This is all through the Department of Agriculture. So when your water stops running, when your food stops growing, or you're not able to go to the grocery store, I'm sure you had that. You had a little hurricane. I saw one of the hurricanes that come up and scuttled through New York City. We deal with that on a regular basis. We're dealing with that right now in Texas. You go to the grocery store right now, and you can't find any water, bread, milk, or any of this substance items that you need. Where does Department of Agriculture? You don't think about the Department of Agriculture until it's not there. So this is where the Department of Agriculture comes in. It's not a glamorous position like the governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, but it's one of the most important, because if it's not there and if it's not handled correctly, you realize it's not there. It hurts. One of the problems of the Department of Agriculture, and I encourage everybody to do your research on that, they're welcome to Google me. I want everybody to Google my name. You'll find that I'm a college professor. You'll find that I'm real active in the community. I'm a real estate developer. I've been a member of Rotary. I love the group of the community organization of Rotary. I've been involved in, I was on school politics. I was all the way at the bottom on the school board. You want to talk about a thankless job, but a really, really important job. I was on our local school board for a couple terms. But the Department of Agriculture, the current person in the Department of Agriculture has had four scandals in the last 6 years. And this last scandal, which is the reason that I decided to run on May 6th of this year, or May 7th of this year, the Department of Agriculture was the chief lobbyist, which is the number two person under the Department of Agriculture commissioner, was indicted for selling hemp licenses. Instead of issuing hemp licenses, he sold millions of dollars of hemp licenses. So it's, you know, it's just idiotic. You know, it's we're going to slide the money under the table to our buddies or whatever it ends up being. You know, for the Texas Rangers to come up with the indictments, you know, there has to be justification there because they're just not going to randomly nilly-willy issue these indictments if they're not the true deal. So there's three indictments out on the Texas Department of Agriculture. I prayed a lot about it. I talked to my dad, who's a big rancher in Texas, and I said, you know, I think I'm going to run for Texas Department of Agriculture. He says, what the hell are you thinking? He says, you're a college professor. Your 20-year mark. You can retire. Why the hell are you doing something like this? This is insane. This is ludicrous. You're at the end of your career. I said, no. Think about Colonel Sanders, Harlan Sanders. Harlan Sanders started Kentucky Fried Chicken when he was 55 years old. So therefore, I don't think my career has actually begun yet. People have asked me for years, what are you going to do when you grow up? I don't know. I just haven't grown up yet. So I'm doing my professor gig until I decide to grow up. And if you look at my resume, my resume pointed me right towards this position. And this, when I prayed about it and I talked to my dad says, you know what? Because of the kids and the grandkids and the future generations, if you don't do it, I don't know who else is going to do it, because we can't have somebody in there that's stealing money, that's pocketing money, that goes in, you know, that's not wealthy going in, but the people are coming out wealthy as all get out. I mean, how does that happen when you become an elected official, you come out a multimillionaire? I don't get how that works. Here's a great example.
It's happening everywhere.
The Clintons, look at the Clintons. They went in and came out multimillionaires. How does that happen? So I'm one of the, I'll tell you, I am an ethical person. I live by God. I'm a God-fearing man. And I'm going in to make a difference in Texas politics. I'm going in to make a difference in the Department of Agriculture. I'm going in because I love God. I love my country, and God bless Texas. I love Texas. And, you know, everybody thinks about Texas, you know, you can picture the shape of Texas, but you know, can you picture the shape of Delaware? You know, we have waffle irons in the shape of our state. I don't think Delaware or New Jersey has a waffle iron the shape of their state. So we're pretty prideful people up here, down here in Texas. So it's important because we raise, you know, Texas still has the motto that we can still secede. And if we secede, we can still be a profitable country, because not only we have oil, we have the technology. Elon Musk just bought almost all of West Texas, and now he's competing with NASA. So we have a little bit of everything here in Texas, and we're proud to be able to ship to the other parts of the United States. And I think that we should eliminate foreign trade, eliminate the trade that's coming in, and limit the amount that's coming into the United States, and increase the amount that we're shipping out. I'm an economist. That's what I do. I teach economics, and our GDP will never go up if we bring in more than we're sending out.
Yeah, right. You know, another thing, we were talking about, you know, foreign trade and all that, and the purchasing of farmland. I don't know. It's just, again, what I see. Is there a decent amount of farmland being bought by foreign nations in our country?
Texas is one of the few states, one of the majority of states. There's five states in the United States, and I can't name them all right now. I know Oklahoma is one of the closest one. I can't name the other four. But there's five states in the United States that do not allow foreign purchase of agriculture, of land by foreign outsiders. Texas, unfortunately, is not one of them. So we're getting overrun in West Texas, and we're seeing that with the windmills. I don't know if you've seen the big windmills that we have in West Texas. Gigantic windmills that are thousands of feet tall. They're sort of ironic. They, you know, they cost more to produce than we get off of them. But it's crazy. I don't know if this is one of those political baskets to get into. But a lot of those windmill, they call them windmill farms. A lot of the windmill farms are owned foreign. A lot of them are owned by China. There's a lot of foreign purchase of land. And one of the things that's on my agenda is to institute a law where we cannot and will not sell land to foreign countries.
I don't think any farmland should be sold to foreign countries at all. I agree with that. That shouldn't even be a thing. Along with, I see all these the meat processing plants that are owned by China.
Four meat processing plants that have 85% of the processing. One of them is owned by South America, one of them is owned by China, and two of them are corporate owned, but of those corporations, 40% of the shareholders are foreign. What does that tell you about the United States? They've got us by the cojones. You know, we had that issue here not long ago where the pipeline the pipeline from Texas to New York was quote unquote hacked. Well, what's the two biggest inflationary items that we deal with? Number one is gasoline. Gasoline affects everybody in the United States. I don't care whether you're here or visiting, whether you're here living here, whether you're 16 years old, whether you're 80 years old, gasoline affects everybody that's going to be driving or riding in a car or in any type of vehicle. That's one of the biggest inflationary. The second inflationary is the food. So if we have, and we just had a food shortage here not long ago because one of the food processing plants got quote unquote hacked. Do they really get hacked? Are they testing to see if they can control our food and control our fuel? And if they control those two inflationary items, we're totally at the mercy. We are totally at the mercy. And I don't think the public and I don't think the population really understands how serious this is. This is Department of Agriculture. And this is the reason you need somebody vocal, you need somebody strong, and you need somebody that's not into somebody else's pockets.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny you talk about food shortages. You see, it's like a national thing. I think it started in Australia, but it spread about the truckers that are basically striking and slowing down and slowing the delivery and transportation of food and the essentials. I mean, people are posting pictures all over the country about their local supermarkets and shelves are empty because the trucks aren't making deliveries because they're protesting vaccine mandates and other things. But here's, and I don't want to sound conspiratorial, but when you talk about controlling the food and controlling like the oil for gas, The current administration, the Biden regime, is being run by these sick leftists, some of them self-proclaimed Democrat socialists, and we know how big the government they want it to be. They want control. It's all a control grab. Just look at these nonsense mandates. Now he wants corporations with more than 100 employees to mandate vaccines. This is the federal government that now wants to mandate medical treatment for free Americans, okay? But they also, and I truly believe this, that they want to be able to control through the government and government-influenced corporations our food supply, maybe our water supply, natural resources, everything that we need, the essentials that all of us take for granted because of the freedom that we love and enjoy in this country. They want to control it, and they want us to rely on them, the government. And that's a big problem. It's scary because when I never thought about this until about a week ago when I walked into my supermarket local to me, and I walked into where the meat is, okay, the chopped meat, the steaks, everything. And it was slim pickings. It was next to nothing.
And what's the price? What's the price now compared to what it was 6 months ago?
It's a lot. I mean, a head of lettuce is more money than what it was. And I asked one of the butchers who was there. I says, "You got stuff in the back?" And he goes, "No, we got nothing yet. We're waiting for a delivery. Hopefully tomorrow, but we're not sure. Maybe the next day." And I was like, "Wow, like it's." People are laughing that you have that company out there. Was it Patriot Food Supply? That they say, oh, you can buy 4 months worth of food and it has a shelf life of 21 years and it gives you like 200 calories per day just in case the crap hits the fan and
Armageddon
and major yeah. path. You know what I mean? It sounds like it's like I should loosen my tinfoil hat like Alex Jones is going to jump out of the closet and go boo. But I tell you what, think about it. I'm talking to you, listening to how ranchers are suffering, how we have, you know, foreign nations processing essentials in our country and buying up land. This is a problem. It's not becoming a problem. It is a problem. And I just see it getting worse. The current administration is going to make it easier for that to happen, not harder.
That's right.
Okay, they're gonna put the regulations on us. They'll put regulations on ranchers. They won't put regulations on China from buying up land or
That's
buying
right.
up meat processing plants. When's the day gonna come when they tell you that all the land you own isn't all your land anymore?
Well, here's what they're doing. They're trying to control our water supply. You know, if I was at a convention here over the summertime and I was talking to some guys in Denver and he says, hey, you know, we can't drill water wells and we can't produce our own water because Kansas, the state of Kansas, owns the water rights under Colorado. How does that happen? How does that happen? It happened because we just let it slip right through our hands. It's a liberal government. The liberal government signed it off. It was money coming into the state. And he says, watch, I guarantee the same thing's going to start happening in Texas. Well, it's already happening in Austin. Austin is we call Austin the California of Texas. Austin is where all the liberals are at in Texas because literally that's our Silicon Valley of Texas is the center of our state. And that's where our state capital and everything is at. So you can't do anything with the water, not only underground, but you can't do anything with the water on top of the surface. It's called the Edwards Aquifer, and all of that water is protected because they want to make sure that there's going to be enough for the city people. Where does that water flow? It flows eventually down to the coast. What's along the coast? This is where all your ranchers are at. We have rice farmers. We have all of our farmers that are along the coast. They're being limited. So what's happening is we're limiting the amount of water that these farmers downstream can get because we're building all these houses and subdivisions and everything. And we cannot drill, and we're limited to the amount of water that they can touch on the surface and subsurface. Now, it started in Austin. What's going to happen? The rest of the state is going to follow suit. The rest of the state's going to follow, and they're going to limit it. We're fortunate in the county that we live in, but they're wanting to make it more restricted where it's all about the water rights. You don't own the water that's flowing across your property. The water is flowing across your property. You can no longer dam it up and have water. You can't have what we call farm ponds or tanks or whatever you want to call them for their cattle to drink out of because that will be owned by the government. One of my platforms is you own your land. The water underneath the ground and the water on top of the ground belongs to the ranch.
I mean,
it's all about control and just exactly what you said earlier. If we don't we're still a red state, but right. we have pockets of the blue. And if we don't make sure we maintain the control of freedom and liberty, then we're going to lose everything. And once Texas ties us right back into the Department of Agriculture, Texas Department of Agriculture is one of those things that you really don't think about until you don't have it anymore.
Yeah, it's literally the most important thing. I mean, it's everything. It's food. It's water. It's everything you need to survive. Without a sustained agricultural system, we're dead. We're dead. I mean, it's funny
you just say that. It's everything we need to survive. I was talking to a couple individuals in Houston, and they were saying, well, why is it important? Why is your position important? Why do I need to vote for you? Why? I mean, I don't have anything to do with agriculture. I said, everything that you eat is agriculture. Everything that you drink is agriculture. Well, if we have a problem, I'll just go to the store and go buy my meat like everybody else. Why do you have to slaughter those animals? And they don't get the concept of us raising these animals out here, slaughtering these animals. It's the PETA concept. If we don't slaughter the animals, we raise the animals, we raise the animal for food, we sell these animals to the grocery store. I had a lady one time ask me, do brown cows produce chocolate milk?
I'm tell like, my daughter
these,
they do.
These are the real questions that are coming from city from the city people. I'm not everybody is this ignorant. I mean, but there are people out there that really we're trying to educate. Now, we have a lot of programs in the inner city in Texas that we try to educate the people to understand that that we as agricultural producers, me as a rancher, I'm producing cattle out here. My cattle are raised for the processing and they go into your grocery store and you enjoy when you eat a hamburger. When you go to McDonald's, you don't realize that that's an actual cow that you're eating. You know, it's just a hamburger. People don't have that concept. Or when you're eating your chicken nuggets. Now, the chicken nuggets you get at McDonald's probably only have about 2% chicken in them, but still, nonetheless, they're still chicken nuggets, but they have to be able to be called chicken. So I'm gonna catch hell for that one. I know McDonald's is gonna send me a letter on that one. But
well,
if McDonald's would buy American beef and American products, then I would get off their back. But McDonald's and Burger King buy overseas meat because it's cheaper. I will go there. Well, and I'll put my neck on the line for that one.
Well, I'll say it. I always say it. If you're eating a McDonald's hamburger, chances are you're eating a Cocker Spaniel or whatever cadaver fell off the back of the truck.
Listen,
that is what it is.
You went further than me on that one.
You know what? I'll take the shots on this one. And I think their chicken nuggets are beak and feet. Feet.
There's enough shots. I'll take some of those too because I said the same thing.
You know, it's. But it's funny, all those people, oh, well, if I just need something, I'll go to the store. If it wasn't for ranchers, you wouldn't be able to go to the store and get that chuck round. You wouldn't be able to get that roast beef. You wouldn't be able to get those steaks.
That's right.
You
what happens if you turn on the faucet at the house and there's no water come out?
Right.
What happens if they start rationing the amount of water that you can have coming out of your pipes? It's only a matter of time. It's not if, but when.
It's really scary that there are people out there that want to see that in this country. It's really sad that there are people out there that want to see those bread lines because they're pissed off that I maybe can have better meat than they can for whatever reason because I like to buy the good stuff, maybe because I can afford it. Oh, because I like capitalism because it's a free America and I own a business. You know, it's really, really scary. It's scary times, and it's a very interesting time to live in this country where you have people that want so much control that can say, well, you can only have this much water. You can only have, you know, it's like Cuba. They get, oh, you can have 9 eggs a month or whatever it is. And there are people out there that want it. And what's really scary is that there are young people out there with hammer and sickle tattoos on their chest, marching up and down the block that want that. And they'll turn around and call someone like me a Nazi when then I turn around and they don't like when I sell. Well, you do realize that hammer and sickle you have tattooed on your chest, that under that symbol, hundreds of millions of people have died under that symbol, probably more than have died under the swastika symbol or just as bad. And they can't fathom that. And
they don't understand. Well, they don't understand it either. They don't care to understand. The ignorance is bliss. Yes.
And it's scary. It's just scary between that we have the open border that's destroying not only country, but our resources, our agricultural resources.
Want everybody to know that everybody is involved in agriculture. Don't think what the Department of Agriculture is just the farmers and the ranchers out there. The farmers and ranchers are what feed you, but everybody is involved in agriculture. Everybody, even the people that live in Manhattan, if you turn the water on, you're involved in agriculture. If you go to the meat market, if you go to the fish market, if you go to the grocery store, anywhere that you go, if you eat, you're involved in agriculture. And that was a phrase in Texas for a long time, that if you eat, you're involved in agriculture. And that's the God honest truth. Don't let the myth that every rancher out there is wealthy. We're struggling. We are one paycheck away from filing bankruptcy. If we didn't have government regulations keeping the price up when it came time to sell our crops, then we're absolutely history, because farmers all when we plant our crops, we plant them in the spring, but when we harvest them in the fall. And I tell my students when I teach this in class, how many students in the northern, or how many farmers in the northern hemisphere harvest their crops in the fall? All of them. So right. What does that do to supply and demand? We have a plethora of supply, and then don't have enough demand to fill it. So what it does is drive the price down. So it's, if we don't have the protectionary mechanisms there and the government doesn't care for the farmers, it's not hurting only the farmers. It's hurting everybody. Right.
Yeah. You know, and another thing that's hurting the farmers and the ranchers is the amount of damage that's being done to property. It's going to come to a point where you said, these ranchers aren't rich. They're not wealthy. They're hardworking people. They're out there doing what they making a living, and they need that next paycheck. They're watching the commodity prices, everything else, and how much. So if they keep getting their property vandalized with illegal aliens coming That's over, right. vandalizing and stealing, it's going to come to a point where I can't afford to do this anymore with just the repairs of my property and replacement of things, where they're just going to fold up shop, sell their property, and move somewhere. And then we're going to lose ranchers. We're going to lose farmers. It's there. What's going on right now in this country, I can see it. It's destroying the whole farming and ranching industry down there. And if it keeps going, it will exterminate the industry. And
I saw a report coming out of Austin last week, right along the same lines that you're talking about, that Texas is losing more agricultural land in this state. We're losing more agricultural land than any other state in the United States.
And
per year, we're losing more agricultural land per year. And it's twofold. We're losing it to development, and we're losing it to the influx of people that are moving to Texas, because Texas doesn't have a state tax, and Texas is a great place to live.
Right. I know quite a few people that have moved to Texas in the last few years. Same thing with Florida. They go into Florida for tax reasons and everything else. And, you know, now you just, you know, you also see there's literally videos of these liberal idiots from California saying, well, we're literally, people are looking to move to places like Florida and Texas for the sole reason is to hopefully vote blue in those states and flip those states into some sick Democrat just cesspool.
And they hate the way it was in California, but they're coming here and voting and turning it the same way it was when they
right.
They
left. There's no rhyme or reason. So Carrie, you're just tell us about again the election, what you've been doing, what you got going on out there, how people can find you and things like that.
I'll start with the latter question first. You can find me on Facebook at Carrie A. Council. That's CAREYA.COUNSIL. Council Across Texas, CONSIL. Council Across Texas is my website. I need as much help as I can get. To run my campaign, to be able to go across Texas, to be able to spread the word, make sure that we keep Texas conservative, make sure we get the hands out of the pockets in Austin, and make sure that we can feed your families and make sure that you have a safe place to live. And when you wake up, you don't have to worry about turning the water on and not being water in your faucet. The campaign is going strong. As a matter of fact, I had a couple speaking engagements, met with a gubernatorial candidate, Huffines, a couple weeks ago. And actually, Colonel West gave me the opportunity to speak with him last week. So I was in Dallas and actually got to speak with Colonel West on his platform with his campaign staff. So that was quite an honor. I've got a lot of respect for Colonel West. He's yes. a great man. I'm getting people like you that are reaching out, and I'm able to spread the word of how important agriculture is, and how, you know, this is what I live. This is what I breathe. This is what I do. I encourage everybody to go on my website, Council Across Texas. The campaign is in full swing. The primary is in March of next year, and the election is in November. And I'm going to be on the same ballot as the governor and lieutenant governor and attorney general. I mean, it's all the commissioners, and we have a railroad commission as well in Texas. So I encourage everybody, great, even if you're not in the state of Texas, please get out and look at me. Look at me and do a Google search. Do a Google search on the Texas Department of Agriculture. Look at how shady. Look at what's been going on in the state of Texas. Look at what's look at the investigations in the Department of Agriculture. Look at the investigation that of the indictments that have just transpired back in May. It's disgusting, and I'm tired of the crap.
Right. There's, you know, corruption in agriculture. I mean, it's everywhere. It's disgusting. And that's a good point. People have to realize Texas is a huge agricultural state. I mean, here in New York, how much of our stuff comes from the state of Texas, all over the country.
I was surprised how agricultural the northern New York is, though. You're really agricultural up in northern New York.
Yeah, northern New York has a lot of farms, a lot of even, you know, the cattle, everything, and into New York, even Connecticut, absolutely. But it's people again. You hear the word agriculture, and it's just a boring,
right,
boring word. It's like agriculture. What's agriculture? No, it's really important. That's your food. That's your water. You know, everything that wants to be controlled and what you see shortages of. I mean, the word food shortage and the word water shortage should never be talked about seriously in the United States of America. We should not be like a water shortage, food shortage. What is that? We should not be worried about that. But we have to be worried about it now, because that's where our current government has taken us and is bringing us. So. Again, it's, you know, Cary Council is the Texas Commissioner of Agriculture. You have to check him out, councilacrosstexas.com, and that's council, CONSIL, acrosstexas.com. Check him out. Make a donation. Reach out. Help out with the campaign, especially those in Texas. I know a lot of people listen and watch me in Texas. I see the engagement. I get a lot of emails. So all you people in Texas, please check out Cary Council. Cary, I really appreciate you taking the time and speaking with me. You opened my eyes a lot of things about agriculture and furthered my thinking and logic towards it. But it's something that's really important. And I thank you so much. And I wish you the best of luck on the election.
Thank you, Alan. I really appreciate it. Thank you for the time, and I appreciate the listeners.
No, it's my pleasure. All right, everybody. That's going to wrap it up. Check out all the episodes over at thegreatdivide1776.com. As always, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and most of all, God bless America. You take care. You can reach out to me with opinions and ideas for other episodes at thegreatdivide1776@gmail.com. You can also find me on social media at The Great Divide Podcast. And please be sure to leave a review for this podcast so the show can be shared to other listeners. Thank you, and God bless America.